The approaching Thanksgiving season is a great time to reflect on the benefits of cultivating feelings of gratitude. Joining us to talk about it is Dr. Mary Jo Kreitzer. She's the founder and director for the Center for Spirituality and Healing at the University of Minnesota. Welcome, Dr. Kreitzer.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for being here. First of all, before we get into specifics about gratitude, you founded the Center for Spirituality and Healing about 20 years ago. What is the center? What's your mission?
Well, the mission, Anne, is to really, very simply, to advance the health and well-being of people, people and family and organizations and communities. Now, when we began 20 years ago, our focus was very much on how do we change healthcare, and we're still very focused on changing healthcare by bringing in more integrative or holistic practices. And so we teach, we have lots of educational programs, training the next generation of health professionals. We do research. We work with a lot of hospitals and clinical settings to, change the way care is delivered. So we're still very much in that space of healthcare. But increasingly, Anne, one of my real interests and the interest of the faculty is, beyond healthcare, when you look at our lives and when you look at our communities, how do we really increase our well-being so that people can flourish? So that's a big interest of mine.
Mm-hmm. So not just the absence or addressing disease, but actually enhancing people's lives.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. So you mentioned that, you've changed a little bit in focus over those 20 years. Can you share a few success stories about, various methodologies that have been tried or, things that people have done that have made a big difference in their lives?
Sure. Well, there's so many things in the whole field of, what used to be called complementary and alternative medicine, now called more integrative medicine or integrative health. But there are studies, for example, that show that mind-body interventions, practice like mindfulness meditation, but that can not only reduce blood pressure, help reduce anxiety, be very helpful with depression, but the studies have actually looked, it can change our immune system. It can literally change the structure and the function of our brain. And so mindfulness is actually an area that I've done a lot of research in with people who are caregivers of like loved ones that have Alzheimer's disease, and it helps them in their caregiving to be, and they're also less anxious and depressed. I've done studies of mindfulness with people who have difficulty sleeping, which is a huge issue. And the discovery we made was that practicing mindfulness could be as effective as taking a sleeping pill. And other faculty have studied different kinds of approaches like aromatherapy, for example, and there's a lot of evidence that some essential oils, aromatherapy like lavender, can help people relax, maybe help them sleep, and things like ginger and peppermint can be helpful with nausea. So really, there are just so many of these integrative approaches that in the 20 years that the center has existed, I've just seen the research explode in this area, so that's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wanted to focus in a bit on gratitude today with you since Thanksgiving is coming up. And we're wondering, how does gratitude enhance a person's well-being? How does that work?
Well, it's such an interesting question. The way I think that, sort of gratitude works, because there's been a lot of research on gratitude and the discovery that when people have more gratitude in their lives and they express gratitude, it can affect their physical health, how they feel physically, stronger immune system, sleeping better. And it also seems to affect their psychological well-being. And by affecting their psychological well-being, what I mean by that is helps to cultivate more positive moods. And there's a lot of research that when we have a more positive mood state, that just creates a whole cascade of positive changes in our bodies. Literally, again, like meditation, it can affect even the way the brain is structured and functions. So gratitude, I think, is something that's so important to cultivate, in our lives.
Interesting. So it actually changes the brain.
Yeah, there's really evidence that it does. And some of the best work on this is done and by a researcher by the name of Dr. Barbara Fredrickson, who has done a lot of research on this whole area of positive foods and positive emotional states. And so I think it sometimes gets down to what we pay attention to. You know, there's a Buddhist monk, Thich Nhat Hanh, who just died this week. So I've been thinking about Thich Nhat Hanh. And Thich Nhat Hanh used to compare in his writing and speaking that our minds are like a garden, that we all have seeds of joy and gratitude and compassion and anger and jealousy and fear. And it comes down to what is it that we're going to water in our life. And whatever we water, that's what flourishes. So if you practice cultivating a mind of compassion, that's what's going to grow. If you cultivate gratitude, that creates, you know, positive moods. And likewise, if you decide to dwell on, negativity or anger or resentment, then that gives them the strength to become stronger in your life.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Dr. Mary Jo Kreitzer. She's the founder and director of the Center for Spirituality and Healing at the University of Minnesota, and we're talking to her about the center and about gratitude. Well, Dr. Kreitzer, can you offer us some specific ways or techniques that people can use to feel more grateful? I mean, it's one thing to say, yeah, you should feel grateful. It'll make you feel better. But how do you actually, in practical terms, do that? How do you bring that into your life?
So one of the things that that I often talk to people about doing is to keep a gratitude journal. And if you don't keep a gratitude journal, just spend some time each day asking yourself some questions like, who or what inspired you today? What brought you happiness? What brought you comfort? Or what brought you peace today? So I think dwelling on questions like that really makes us more conscious and aware of our life, and it helps us, I think, kind of pull up the things that we really are grateful for. And that's very connected, Anne, to this whole idea of mindfulness. And mindfulness is you know, such a huge topic these days. If you go to a library or, you know, reading a newspaper or hearing a radio interview, it's very common to hear people talk about mindfulness. And mindfulness literally means being in the present moment. And so much of our lives, we're not in the present moment. We're either thinking about what we have to do next, the 10 things on our list, or we're thinking about, what happened earlier in the day or what happened yesterday. And, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people that are listening tonight can recall a time in their life that they might have driven someplace in the car and they arrived at their destination, but they don't remember driving there. Yeah. Or they've eaten a meal but don't remember tasting the food. And that's because so much of our life we spend on autopilot, just kind of plodding along. And so when we're mindful, that's like waking up. It's beginning to kind of notice what's happening around us. And so, you know, I think the practice of gratitude, you know, some people will say do a gratitude practice, you know, at the end of the day where you sort of reflect on the kind of questions that I shared with you, or write it down and keep a gratitude journal. But honestly, Anne, I think it's as important to be grateful in the present moment and to be conscious enough to be even noticing when you're engaged in something that is bringing you happiness or joy or pleasure, and just noting that, being aware of it.
So like looking out at the fabulous sunsets and sunrises we have here at this time of year over Lake Superior and thinking, wow, am I lucky to be looking at that?
That is actually such a great example. Or now that we've kind of turned the corner and had this change of season, you know, being able to kind of look outside and say, you know, it's cold, but my gosh, there's just such a freshness and a beauty, you know, in the white landscape that we're facing now. So that's exactly right, Anne. It's just kind of cultivating a positive state about everyday life.
You know, we launched off on gratefulness here, but you've brought up mindfulness a couple times. Are there certain ways that one can be learned to be more still and present in the moment?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to do it. I mean, one way, Anne, is to just begin a practice of being able to kind of notice your breath. And so oftentimes people will begin a meditation practice by just quieting the mind and just be, you know, reflecting on breath. We have, at the Center for Spirituality and Healing, we have a website that some of your listeners might be interested in called Taking Charge of Your Health and Well-Being. And on this website, we have so many practices of, we have information about a gratitude journal. We have lots of like videos and directions on how to do simple meditation, how to do a body scan, how to shift your emotions. So that website might be a nice resource. And I have just honestly been so amazed at how it's grown over the years. We get over 200,000 visitors to this website every month from all around the world.
Wow.
And so we're constantly adding new information on the website. And what the website's really about is something we started talking about at the beginning, and that is, you know, how do you really grow and cultivate more well-being in your life? You know, so often we talk about disease and the, you know, chronic disease and the importance of, you know, preventing disease, and all of those things are, of course, important. But I think when you really talk to people, what they're really yearning for in their life is well-being. And we all know of people who have lousy health, but they have a lot of well-being in their life. Or on the other hand, we know of people who have great health, physical health perhaps, but they really are struggling with well-being. So I've been really interested in my research the last 5 years or so, looking at what are the determinants of well-being. So as you think of your own life, even Anne, you know, I'm sure health would be an aspect of your well-being. And when I think of health, it's what you eat, how much you exercise, how you manage your stress, how much you sleep. And so health is an important piece. Really an important message is that about 80% of how healthy people are has nothing to do with doctors, hospitals, or drugs. It has to do with those lifestyle choices that people make. So health is an important aspect. Purpose is an important aspect. So real critical that people have purpose and meaning in their life, literally a reason to get up in the morning. And there's a lot of research that shows that people's sense of purpose changes over time. It's not like you just figure out purpose once. That kind of evolves. So that's an important part of well-being. Relationships are really critical to well-being. And in the United States right now, there's more loneliness than there is even depression. And so real important to think about how do you cultivate relationships and have in your life people that you care about and they care about you. And the other three areas of well-being, one is community. And you know, I think of the North Shore and the community of Grand Marais. So you want to live in a community that nurtures and sustains you. So you can look at a community and say, are there resources that support people's well-being? Safety and security is important. If people live in fear, that really erodes their well-being. And then the last area is the environment. And when I think of the environment and well-being, I think not only of clean air and clean water and not having toxins, but there's a lot of research on the healing power of nature. And, oh, my gosh, what a wonderful asset you have being on the North Shore, because literally nature can heal us in many ways. And so that's another important part of well-being. So that's why, you know, in my work today, I mean, I'm in hospitals every week, and we work a lot in senior living, and so I'm still very much in the healthcare space. But more and more, I'm really interested in is how can you give people the tools to make these changes in their lives?
Yeah, well said. It sounds like a really interesting field. Can you repeat that website again, Dr. Kreitzer?
Yes, the website of Taking Charge of Your Health, actually, if you Google Taking Charge of Your Health, it's the first thing that comes up, or you can go to www.takingcharge.csh.umn.edu.
Okay, we'll get a link to that on our website as well. Well, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
No. I think that you've really covered a lot of ground.
Well, thank you. We appreciate hearing from you. It sounds like good information to keep in mind all year, not just at Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
That was Dr. Mary Jo Kreitzer. She is the founder and director for the Center for Spirituality and Healing at the University of Minnesota.